Welcome back.
We are still asking the pastor. So please, we want further questions. All right, well, we have another question coming in. Shalom, please. I help a lot of people, including widows, to the extent of paying to release innocent persons from prison, but I am poor. Why? Secondly, there's this disabled I had to help to go into music, but I did help. Was that the reason for which I gave birth to a cerebral palsy child? Gladstone Stanley. You didn't tell us where you're calling
from. Where are you calling from?
Whether you're a sister or a brother, and where you're calling from, okay, or where you're messaging us from.
Okay. Now, every Christian, okay, let me put it this way. Let me not go too deep. There is a gift in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28.
Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps.
What gift? What's that?
Helps.
Help. There's another gift called help. So you are exercising the gift of help because when you see needy people,
wow,
you know, you want to help. When we exercise a gift, it is not contractual. The reason you are helping, if the reason is so that you will be rich, then God will make sure you are poor to confirm that that action must not be a contractual. Brotherly love and charity. Charity, the bond of perfection. God's love, which is charity, if you have it in you, you don't express it so that you get something back in return. It is what gives you joy. The benefit, the gift, the gain of exercising any gift that God has given you, the first benefit is that it gives you joy. You help the physically challenged. So, you love to do it. So God gave you one in your house that you will now pay all the attention and pour that love in, since that is your ministry. So, you are getting it wrong. And every act of kindness has a reward. Every act of kindness has a reward. But there's a time for reward. And that is exactly what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6.
Galatians 6.
I think verse 9 or so.
Okay. Faint not. Galatians 6, 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing.
He said, don't be weary. Don't be tired in doing well, doing good to people.
For in due season, we shall reap.
Can you see there is a season to reap?
If we faint not.
If you don't relax. And if you say you don't faint with me, there are things that will get you to faint, to be tired. But if you're able to break through it, there is a season where you will have your reward.
Amen.
So continue doing it.
Amen.
Because that is your ministry. You enjoy Amen. Doing it.
Hallelujah.
God bless Amen. You.
Thank you, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Please, sir, can you explain Jude verse 1 to 6 in relation to one saved, forever saved doctrine? Thanks, but that Emechitao
I don't see anything in Jude chapter verse 1 to 6 that has anything to do with that. Maybe you read it again.
Okay. Jude has just one chapter, verse 1 to 6 of Jude. Okay, there now.
Well, I know it is speaking about the need for us to contend.
Okay. I think the emphasis is from verse 5 and 6.
Okay.
I would therefore put you in remembrance,
yes,
though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the day of judgment of the great day. I think it's verse 5 that's the emphasis.
Okay, that they brought them out.
The language is having saved the people out of the land of Egypt.
Yes.
Afterward, destroyed them that believe not.
Yes, that is brought them out of the world. Now, you must wait to enter the promised land.
Hey.
Now, salvation, as far as the Jews were concerned, the salvation process is not completed. Salvation from bondage did not just end in coming out of Egypt.
Mm.
When you come out of Egypt, there is a journey to go somewhere.
That's right.
And that is why it is only those who endure to the end that will be rewarded.
Amen.
So when you say he saved them, you have to understand also in the context of the usage. Because was he just interested in taking them to the wilderness? The process began, the salvation process began from coming out of Egypt, and it ended in the day they entered the first part of the promised land. And that is why from that day manna ceased, because the process is completed.
Amen.
So also we have a pattern in the New Testament, again, as Jude is saying. Apostle Paul mentioned it in two places. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10.
Okay, verse what, sir?
From verse 1.
1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, as that all our fathers were under the cloud.
They were all under the cloud and they all passed through the sea.
And were all baptized unto Moses.
They were all baptized. That is, they went through that Red Sea.
And did all eat the same spiritual
drink. Yes.
And did all drink the same spiritual drink.
Uh-huh.
For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ.
Now when he said that rock was Christ, that is, that rock is a type of Christ.
But with many of them, God was not well pleased.
Uh-huh.
For they were overthrown in the wilderness.
God was not well pleased with many of them. Therefore, what happened?
They were overthrown
in the wilderness. That is exactly what Jude is saying in verse 5 of Jude. Now, see his admonishment in verse 6.
Now, these things were our examples. To the intent we should not lust after evil things.
So you see why they couldn't make it. And then he ended up by saying verse 11 and verse 12.
Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Upon
they did what again?
All these things happened unto them for examples.
For example.
And they are written for our admonition,
yes,
upon whom the ends of the world are come. Mm-hmm. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall.
Let him that thinks he stand take heed, lest he fall. Now you are talking about, your question is eternal security. Why would you say somebody was saved, then later on destroyed again?
Mm-hmm.
In the context of the usage, you now understand. Our salvation ends with the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Hmm.
That is the sealing until the day of redemption.
Hmm.
Now, sometimes we mistake the fact that you came out of Egypt.
Repentance.
No, they came out of Egypt.
Hmm.
But you have forgotten that the Bible said they were a mixed multitude.
Hmm.
Now, you have also forgotten that the rain that falls on the just and the unjust.
That's right, sir.
And in Psalm 68 and verse 18,
yes,
he said he giveth his gifts
to all men.
To all men.
Even the rebellious.
Even the rebellious.
Mm.
And you have forgotten that anointing of the Holy Ghost is different from baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
And that is why Apostle Paul, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself made this clear in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not all that say, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom, but he that doeth the will
of my Father.
Now, in that day, many will come and say, in your name, we did it, we did that. That's why they were anointed. And people looking at them will not know that they were part of the mixed multitude, some of them.
Mm.
So he came to Hebrews chapter 6.
Mm-hmm.
Now, see the way he put it from verse 4.
For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened,
okay,
and have tasted of the heavenly gifts.
Can you see? Apostle Paul put it, they went through the Red Sea. They were under the cloud. They saw God's presence physically, not inside dream.
Hmm.
Everybody, every Jew saw it. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Every Jew saw the evidence.
Hmm.
Okay?
And have tasted of the heavenly gifts, and
yes,
were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
And have tasted the good word of God,
uh-huh,
and the powers of the world to come.
He said,
if they shall fall away,
it is impossible
to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame.
And see the mystery is in verse 7 and verse 8.
For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God.
Okay.
But that which beareth thorns.
When that rain fall, and what happens? It brings bears.
Thorns and briars.
What is happening to
what? He's rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be born.
So be careful so that you don't pronounce everybody saved because they go to church or they speak in tongues. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Okay. Good evening, Pastor Muzalu. I'm Brother Collins from Benue State. I want to ask about what happens when we die. Do all the dead sleep till the time of judgment, or do the sinner go to hell immediately and the righteous to paradise?
We have answered this.
No, not in this form, sir. Not as framed as this.
Let's take it again.
I want to ask about what happens when we die.
Do all the dead sleep till the time of judgment?
Or do the sinner go to hell immediately and the righteous to paradise?
No, Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:13.
Yes. Okay. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep.
Which are asleep. Now, why he used the word asleep? You use the word sleep because the person is going to wake up again.
Amen.
So he gave reason and that, you know, we have the hope of resurrection. Colossians 1:27 is Christ in you.
That's right.
The hope of glory. Romans 8 verse 11.
But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body.
The same spirit that brought him out from the dead.
That woke him up.
Will wake us up. Therefore, we are sleeping.
Amen.
If you die in Christ.
Amen.
So, firstly, the language you're using in your question, you know, unbelievers die. They will never resurrect.
That's right.
The only time they resurrect is in Revelation chapter 20 for the white throne judgment. To be given reason why they'll be annihilated in the lake of fire. I don't know if that answers you.
Okay, but that question.
Where they are.
Hell and paradise.
Those who are sleeping. they are sleeping as far as their bodies, physical bodies are concerned here. But their spirit man, their soul, they are in a resting place, waiting for the rest of us to join them.
Amen.
Then they'll meet with Christ and they will come back here. So they are actually somewhere. But those who are unbelievers, they are in torment now. No peace wherever they are. They are in torment. They are not yet in hellfire. No. Hellfire comes from only Revelation chapter 20. When the second resurrection, that is the second resurrection. They are not partaker of the second resurrection. Of the first resurrection. The first resurrection is for us. I'm sure I'm there. That's what I'm saying.
Sleeping.
Us.
Yes,
those of us. If I won't even sleep, I'll be awake.
Amen. We hope that question is clear. We are calling from Benue State. Okay, we have more questions coming in. Good evening, sir. Please, Daddy, can you explain to me and my family why you put stone on your altar? Thank you, sir. David Imaya from Jalingo, Taraba State.
The reason is because everything in the church there defines our faith. 1 Peter chapter 2, okay?
Verse 5.
Go on, yes.
Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer us spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
And when we come to church, what do? We are offering up spiritual sacrifices by way of our worship and service of God. So putting the stones there is prophetically speaking that we are the stones that God is using to build his house, and we are not dead stones. We are lively stones. That's why his ministry is a lively ministry.
Amen.
It's a prophetic thing.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Okay. More questions coming in. What can one do to prevent the mark of the beast? Sister Anne from Kaduna State, Nigeria.
The only thing to prevent the mark of the beast is to make sure you go in the rapture. For that will take place only after the rapture
Amen.
Has gone. So if you don't go in the rapture, prepare for the mark.
Amen. So you've even answered the question I just asked you.
Yes.
So regardless of any 5G, 6G, 20G,
whatever it doesn't concern us. You know,
if it's before the rapture, it's not the mark of the beast.
If it is before the rapture, you are correct.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mm. If 5G is to be used by the Antichrist, he will only use it after the rapture.
Amen.
So please, there's 5G now, Bride of Christ, use it very well. It doesn't concern us.
Amen.
That is what Revelation does. Is it removes fear, it removes worry.
Amen. Know. So I've also heard you say to prevent the mark of the beast, you must receive the mark of God.
Sure. You must see, before the judgment came, he waited until the first fruit from Israel. There's always a first fruit.
Amen.
You know, what happened? Remember, it said first fruit because there will be other fruits, that will follow. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us the order of resurrection.
Yeah, chapter
talks
15.
About 15. Talks about Christ, the first fruit.
That's right.
Okay, the first fruit. So, and before the judgment will come, the judgment angel was asked to wait until he has sealed the 144,000. With the mark. It is also on their forehead. I hope you know it's on their forehead.
Amen.
So it's the same thing. That is the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
God bless you before the judgment comes.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, sir. Please, I don't understand Leviticus 11 that talks about eating clean and unclean animals. Precious from Port Harcourt.
You have not asked your question. That means there are clean and unclean animals. Now, what do you not understand about it?
Okay.
Or you are thinking that the ones that are unclean, you are eating it now. Mm. Well, Apostle Paul tells us everything is now sanctified with your prayers.
Amen.
So this is grace now.
Hallelujah.
He said it in Colossians chapter 2.
Okay, Colossians 2.
Verse 16.
Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day of the new moon or the Sabbath days.
Amen. And many more scriptures that tells us that
1 Timothy 4:4.
Okay, that's another scripture.
1 Timothy 4:4. Yes. For every creature of God is good.
Exactly.
And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving.
Under grace.
Amen. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer.
Under grace. And you want to ask, why will God forbid it in the Old Testament and allow it in the New Testament? The answer is very simple. Under the Old Testament, that's part of the imperfection of the Old Testament, of the law. Mm. It's part of the imperfection.
Amen.
But when that which is perfect comes, which is the blood of Jesus Christ,
hallelujah,
it cleanses every unclean thing.
Amen.
And turns everything clean.
Amen.
If you apply the blood there.
Amen.
That is the reason.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, we have more questions. Shalom, sir. More grace and anointing to you, sir, Brother Lumde. For God to keep using you as a big net to keep catching men out of denominational long-time bondage. My question is that if water baptism can be done wrongly, what about ordination, sir? Help put more light, sir. From Brother Noah, from Yanokpaja, Lagos State, Nigeria. The young man you laid hand on Tuesday service. Okay.
I laid hand on somebody.
Yeah.
Was it, I ordained him or what? The question is still not clear whether there is a wrong ordination.
Wrong ordination.
The only wrong ordination in the denomination is that they ordain women into the fivefold ministry.
Wow.
Anyhow else, the ordination is pouring oil upon you and, you know, releasing you to go into the ministry.
Hmm.
So that is ordination. And Apostle Paul let us know, you know, about that. Go set the church in order, ordain the elders, appoint them. Mm. Ordination is appointment. And we see in the Old Testament, each time a divine appointment to be done, an oil is poured. So also now in the New Testament, that oil signifies the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
So that authority comes upon you, and then you go out and have your ministry.
Amen.
But also, maybe one thing I have to let you know is that there's nothing in the Bible, the New Testament, under grace, that says you cannot go into any ministry God has called you into unless a man pours oil on you. There's nothing like that, because the true ordination comes from God himself in the New Testament. He selects you, and the oil he gives you is the anointing he anoints you to do what he has called you to do. And that becomes the authority. And when you see evident grace of God upon any man, upon any woman, be careful how you relate with that person, because the oil of God, the anointing of God is upon that person. Once you can identify that anointing, be very, very careful, because it will tell also on how God will relate with you. By the way you relate with that man or that woman. Oh. William Branham says that it's also, you know, evidence. It is a hand of fellowship. Ordination also speaks about hand of fellowship. The fact that two things: you desire to go into the ministry. You desire to go into the ministry, and I will be backing you up.
Okay,
because I have seen a grace. You know, secondly, that you have seen a grace on that person, and then you are saying, yes, I identify that grace. So you go, the Lord will be with you, and you back him up. And of course, you continually guide him. That is what you are doing. The person you ordain, you is expected that you'll be guiding him, and you'll be unto that person a spiritual father in the order that Apostle Paul was a father to Timothy or to Titus. You know, for mentorship, for guidance, and things like, not lordship. Mentorship and guidance, not lordship. And it is that lordship that Matthew 23 is against. They call no man father. It is lordship. But the order of Apostle Paul calling Timothy my son, if he's the son, then he's the father of Timothy. It's a mentorship, not lordship. God bless you.
Wow, thank you so much, sir. Okay, let's take more questions. Shalom, sir. I want to ask, can a newly born again sister who had a child before she became born again get married to a dedicated Christian brother? Is it right for her to even get married at all? Sister Precious from Lagos.
It's that all things are passed away.
Amen.
She will do a big wedding.
Amen.
And if you want to do it the ceremonial way, even that her child can be one of the bridal trains. And it has nothing to do with her salvation.
Amen.
As long as she has confessed that to the man and the man forgives her, she becomes his wife. Just as we, our past, once we have repented our past and confessed our past before our Lord Jesus Christ, he forgives us and marries us and will become his bride. So also is in this situation. Amen. God bless you.
Amen and amen. Thank you, sir. All things have passed away. Okay, let's take more questions. Shalom, Daddy. You are my father in the Lord in last days. And I thank God for bringing me to your revelation of his word. Question 1. Revelation 5. Who sat on the throne and the Lamb took the book from? Question 2. Who said the seven thunders is for the dead? Will there also be seven voices like we have in the seven church age? From Edmond, online member in Ghana, Zebila. I'm happy I was baptized in 2018, no more bondage, at Legon, Ghana.
Legon, okay.
Legon, Ghana, Shalom.
Two things here.
Who sat in the throne?
Who is it that sat on the throne?
Yes, sir. And who said the seven thunders is for the dead? Will there also be seven voices like we have in the seven church ages?
Who said it? Who said it? The Bible said it.
Amen.
And we saw it scripturally in the Bible. And we saw the pattern.
That's right.
That when Christ died, before the resurrection that we saw in Matthew 27,
yes, sir.
Christ went to the region of the dead, the Bible tells us, and preached to the souls that were there. There's another resurrection that is coming, which is the second part of the first resurrection. And it gave us a pattern that when he stands up from the mercy seat, we see Revelation chapter 10, that he's already a conqueror because he stands with the book of redemption, authority fully given to him, the title deeds fully given to him, the end has come. Now his next ministry is the seven thunders ministry. an apostle John was about to write what he had, and was forbidden from writing it. It is because what he had, what the seven thunders sounded, is not for the living. Everything for the living that we need to know, that will keep us rapturable, he has already put them down for us to know. Amen. In the divine agenda.
Amen.
And he will not leave us in confusion. And that is why people have come out with different interpretations. It's like this, it's like this. Like, God is not out of confusion.
That's right.
It's because you are choking your head in what you shouldn't. He said, don't write it. It's not writing. It's not for the living.
Amen.
And looking at the precedents, we see that he will also go to the region of the dead.
That's right.
To tell them something that will prepare them to come out of the grave.
Amen.
The dead in Christ will rise first. Then when we see them, we too will have our rapturing faith and our bodies too will change.
Amen and amen.
So who said it? The Bible said it. Then, what is the other question?
Who was the one that sat on the throne in Revelation 5?
Of course, redemption now, all power is given to the Son, Jesus Christ. So the great eternal spirit that gave all authority, for he has put all things under him. Who is that? He, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is now serving through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he that sat on the throne is the great eternal spirit.
Amen.
And who is he that went to collect? Is the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, let's take more questions. Please, sir, is football or sport a sin? Is there any Bible reference that's against body tattooing? Manuel from Abuja.
Number one, football sport is not a sin. Football and sport is a physical exercise. Keeps you healthy. Now, but everything you do can become sin when you become obsessed with it. And your all attention goes to it. Until you begin to even go and do gamble. And you love it so much until when it comes between you and God, time for fellowship, you want to be playing football, then that is the stage that it becomes sin. But football is also a profession. And in every profession, you can profess Christ, even in it.
Wow.
So it's no sin. Now, the next one is what?
Any scripture against tattooing.
Yes, this is where we see it. In Leviticus chapter 19, there's a law that was given to Israel, and I believe that it is still applicable now.
Yes, sir.
Verse 28.
Ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead.
Whether it's for the dead or for anybody at all.
Nor print any marks upon you.
You are not to print any marks on your body.
I am the Lord.
So the Bible is against it.
Sir, these cuttings, would also include tribal marks.
Stamping.
Stamping.
Yes. Tribal marks. Now, making cuttings, is a tradition of the heathen. When somebody is dead, there are certain ceremonies they do, you know, and he's telling them, don't do that. Then stamping, you know, on the skin, you should not do, don't make that tattoo. That is tattoo. That's where we got tattoo from.
Okay.
Tribal mark is part of tattoo. It's a tattoo.
It's a tradition of the Hindu.
It's a tradition of the Hindu, yes.
Yes, sir. Okay, let's take more questions. Shalom to the bride of Christ. Please, if I cannot remember exactly the date, month, and year when I was born again and baptized, does it mean that I have to reborn and baptize again in order to have the record? Thank you, Brother Henry from Ekpoma in Edo State, Nigeria.
Physically, remembering your birthday as a physical birthday, why we remember it, it's for record purpose in case you will need it. And it helps you to know how old you are, and for whatever reason. The important thing is that you are not a human being. It's not too important. But the important thing is that you are not a human being, and you know how you came about. You know, you know who your parents are. That is the important thing. So it is spiritually. You now know that you are in Christ. That is important thing. When it happened, it's not important. Mm-hmm. But be sure that you are born again and that you're in the family of Christ, our Father. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Such an experience as being born again, can one really forget it?
Yes, there are some of us, for instance, that don't bother about keeping date records. You only remember the period. You may remember the month. You may remember the occasion. Me, I cannot pinpoint the date or the hour because I didn't know it was the new birth experience.
But the
experience continued. But I do know that after that date, my life changed. Mm. And I'm not good at keeping records. So all I know is I know the date and I know the month because of certain events I can point to. So it's not too important. The important thing is that I am born again.
Amen. Okay. Let's take more questions. Shalom, Pastor. When you're in a congregation where God has chosen for you and things fall apart in the church, familiar spirit took over and God revealed it to me. My question is, can I still continue to pay my tithe there or should I stop? Sister Jemina from Ghana.
Sister Jemina, you are saying that you are in a congregation where God has chosen for you. If you are sure it is God that has chosen that place for you, it means your choice of a place of worship is determined by hearing from God. And that is where you begin to have problems. I believe if God ever tells you to go to a place, it is to achieve a purpose. And you will know the purpose for going there. And you should know when that purpose is fulfilled so that you move ahead with your life. You don't get yourself in bondage because of a vision, a revelation that you can also know that the purpose or that revelation has already been fulfilled and you move your life forward.
Mm.
God bless you.
Okay, more questions coming in. Brother Jacob from Borno State, Nigeria is calling us. God bless you, Brother Jacob. You're on air.
Okay. Good evening, sir.
Thank you. Shalom.
My name is Jacob Yohanan. I have a question. I'm here in Maiduguri, so I want to know whether there is a bride church so that I can join and fellowship with them. Because I heard you speaking as if like there's no any other bride church. So I'm confused. I want to know whether there is a bride church in Maiduguri.
Well, I want you to know, Brother Jacob, first and foremost, we are not a denomination with headquarters and branches.
Amen.
And but we have churches and pastors that have come across us, seen the truth, and they are following this truth. And as they have seen through this ministry. There are so many of them, we know them around the world, and some we don't know. But please, if you are watching us now and you are in Maiduguri and you are a church, please let us know so that we shall direct people to you. But you heard Brother Andrea also from Maiduguri, who said they have a little fellowship. Some of them come together and fellowship together. Some come together, they gather, and then they connect with us online. But by coming together, they're able to know and then enjoy other aspects of fellowship with other brethren. So maybe our brother, if you send us a text, we shall send you the phone number of Brother Andrea in Maiduguri. And he'll be able to tell you how your little flock can come together and worship the living God.
Amen.
Okay, sir. I even have your second question, sir.
Yes, and let me use this opportunity. But Andre, if you are listening to us, can you send your number now to us so that we call it for those in Maiduguri to copy so that we don't miss this out? Yes. Some may not be able to text us, but hearing it, they may want to visit you and see whether what you are saying is the truth or not. So, Brother Andre, please give us a call or give us a number. Yeah, Brother Jacob, what's your next question?
Okay, sir. I'll send the number, sir.
God bless you.
Okay, but I have a second question, sir.
Yes.
The second question is, please, sir, can you explain for me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 11, concerning the revival ministry in this generation?
Ephesians chapter
4, verse 8 to 11, concerning the revival ministry in this generation.
What is confusing there?
Up to now, I think what more like fun. That's the reason
I don't know what aspect of the life, because he's telling us that he gave some apostle and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of his ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is confusing?
Okay. I'm just confusing because some say that I think that these fivefold ministry are not ordained. So I'm confusing and want to
know. No, the Bible says so. The perfecting of the saints still continues, and the building of the body of Christ is by the fivefold ministry. So it is now, that is what has been holding the church on the day of Pentecost till now. It is the fivefold ministry.
Okay, that means there are apostles on ground, sir.
I don't know if you have come across the sermon I preached about the fivefold ministry.
Understanding the fivefold ministry.
I titled it Understanding the Fivefold Ministry. Have you come across it?
No, sir, I haven't.
Okay, in that message, I try to let us know that it is a spiritual building that is taking place. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 says something, that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, so the church of Jesus Christ is a spiritual house that is being built. And every building starts with foundation laying.
Amen.
So the first ministry that God put up in this building is the apostolic ministry for the purpose of laying the foundation.
Amen.
And in every building, the most important aspect of that building is the foundation.
That's right.
And the foundation is so sure that in Galatians chapter 1, Apostle Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel other than what they have preached, let him be accursed. He said, even if another angel comes, or he himself come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So the foundation of the church is what God lays for us in the New Testament church that we see in the book of Acts and all the other epistles. It was the foundation laying. And the rest of us, Apostle Paul again added and said, no other foundation can any man lay than that which is already laid.
Man.
Okay, so therefore, the apostolic ministry is the Bible that we have today.
New Testament.
From the New Testament, from the book of Acts.
That means that there are not men on ground.
Eh?
That means that there are not men on ground that will see the apostolic ministry.
No, that is wrong now, because this is the apostolic ministry.
Foundation.
Because since we are not laying any other foundation, if any man come and say, I am Apostle Olumide, dead. It means he's telling you he's laying another foundation.
Okay.
There are only fourfold now, living
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
Those are the prophets, evangelists. Those are the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers.
That's
who
right.
are building on the foundation that the apostolic ministry has laid down.
Hey.
Anybody, if God call you to be a pastor, you are going to build from the ministry of the apostles. This is it, and it's written here. It's not done away with, oh, it is already here.
Okay.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Amen.
So Apostle Olumide is false.
Amen. Okay, Shalom, Pastor Moses, and God bless you for the sacrificial work you are doing since. And Brother Nkengbeza from Cameroon. In Numbers 20:11, Moses stroked the rock, instead of speaking to it. Why did God first take the life of Aaron and not Moses as punishment when Moses was responsible for the act? Secondly, sir, is it right for a woman to keep the offerings of the church, or is it solely the duty of a deacon with regards to the position of a woman in the church? Will it be right to assign a woman to handle the church finances if the brothers there are not trustworthy? God bless you.
You see, when it comes to management of the church finances, if you notice, that is the duty of the deacons. It's a deacon work. If you notice in Acts, where the deacons were first
appointed,
in Acts
6,
in Acts chapter 6, now see, first and foremost, read it from verse 1.
And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the apostles unto them and said, it is no reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
See, that is my emphasis, verse 3. Again, wherefore, see the qualification.
Wherefore, brethren, look here among you seven men of honest reports.
You must be sure that the person is honest,
full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom,
and that he is born again, and he has wisdom,
whom we may appoint over this business.
So, the qualification, and of course, it's a leadership position. Therefore, it cannot be a woman. You don't tell a woman to be in charge of the church finance. When people need money, then they go to her. She approves and disapproves and disburses it in her position as a deaconess, deacon or deaconess. No, that's a position of authority. It is wrong. So if you don't have a trustworthy
deacon
brother in the church that you are sure of, that you, the pastor, you have to take up that responsibility while you look out for anybody that eventually will take that trouble away from you. So a woman cannot be.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And in this church, a brother approves all finances in this church.
No, men, of course, men. I mean, their position of authorities are all
men. You know. Okay, more questions. Shalom, sir. Over time, sir, I've noticed that whenever I'm praying for a sick person, I feel the same symptoms for a while. I prayed for my sister with every cold and catarrh this morning, and immediately I started having the same symptoms till now, but she's better. Please, sir, why is this so? Sister Charity from Lagos.
Two reasons why it is so. One is the devil to scare you from praying for people. So tell the devil you're a liar. And secondly, also fear. When you are praying, you exercise fear. If you don't exercise fear, it will not come to you. When you exercise fear, you open door for that thing that you are afraid to hit you. So, you know, pray and be sure that you are in your line of duty, because the whole host of heaven is behind you, because he gave you the gift.
Amen.
And when it comes, the same grace you use in praying for that person, pray also for yourself, and it will go.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, let's take more questions. Oh, good evening, sir. I'm Clinton from Cameroon. I want to ask, that can someone prophesy to people without being baptized?
Prophesy to people is a gift. It is God that chooses. In fact, he will use an animal to prophesy to somebody before.
That's right.
So the fact that maybe you're talking about the order of using the gifts. It is what you see, you tell the people. So whether the person has baptized or not, if God chooses to pass a message through him, then you are about to query God now. Must have a reason for choosing that vessel at that time. And we cannot question him.
Amen.
But it has nothing to do with the salvation of that person.
Okay.
Service is different from salvation.
That's right.
You have to understand that.
Service is different from salvation.
Yes.
Okay, let's take more questions. More grace to my pastor. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 34 to 35 says, women should be silent in the church. Does it restrict only women pastors and leadership? I see that women are asking questions more. Please, I need more understanding. Brother Bernard Humphrey from
the Cardinal. Silence there is talking about when there is a matter to be settled in the church. The context of the usage in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, number 34, it says, let the women learn in silence. Continue, read
1 Corinthians 14, 34.
Yes.
Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience.
Under obedience. Yes, go on.
Seared the law.
Yes.
And if they will learn anything,
if you want to learn anything,
let them ask their husbands at home.
Yes.
For it is a shame for women to speak in the church.
Now, what is talking there is when there are matters to be resolved in the church, let a woman not put your mouth inside. That's what it means. Nothing more. You want to know what happened concerning that matter in the church, the men will handle it so your husband can tell you at home. And, oh, but I'm not married. How will I know? Your pastor will tell you. You must belong to a group with a leader in the church. And if it's a small church where you're not into groups, then you have easy access to the pastor. Meet him personal and not to exercise a vote. Not to exercise a vote of your right to speak. No.
Okay, let's take our final question for this night. Radanel is calling us from Plateau State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir. Radanel, you're on air, sir.
Okay. The second book
of
Thessalonica,
chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, what's your question, sir? Yes, sir. What's the question? Okay. Until he be taken out of the way. Who will be taken out of the way?
It's the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost, correct?
Yes, sir.
He said for the mist.
Who is that that is taken away from the way to give the man of the sea?
Now, if you read it from verse 7, it says he will be taken away. You understand it when you read the next verse 8.
And then shall that wicked be
revealed. So who the he that is taken away is the Holy Ghost.
Okay. All right. I think the question has been answered. It's he that be taken away is the Holy Ghost.
And then the Antichrist will now manifest fully who he is.
We've come to the end of Ask the Pastor this evening. We've asked the pastor several questions and we want to go and rest. We thank our pastor so much that has given us the privilege to ask him these questions. And once again, we thank all sponsors of Bright TV. Thank you so much from all of us at the Bright TV crew. We say God bless you. Shalom.